to dawn. I still think we might do better to wait and try and hit them in daylight, when they might be locked away in their room, sleeping.
I personally favor the idea of creeping into their vault, where they must sleep in coffins filled with graveyard dirt, and striking them through their evil hearts with a sharpened stake of good oak.
Probably be about as successful as my attempt with the crucifix, Doc. I figure they'd just laugh at a sharp stake.
I fear that you're right.
Come on, people. Traitor used to say that the best plan was the one that the enemy expected least of all. JB's right about them moving out and about when it's dark, so that's when we hit them. Around midnight, when they'll least expect us to go against them. We'll pluck away Dean from their hold and head at top speed for Redoubt 47. For the gateway, and I jump the hell out of here.
Jack had discovered on one of his earliest recons through the house that the servants' quarters were completely separate from the rest of the mansion, in a west wing with its own locked and barred entrance. The family only seemed to let them out when they needed them in the kitchen or to do any cleaning or washing. But after 8 o'clock at night, the main section of the place was deserted, except for the ubiquitous Norman. Ryan's sight was improving all the time, and he decided to go out of their bedroom and hunt for food along with Christy and JB. He peered at his wrist chron, able to read the tiny digital display for the first time in days.
2 hours till midnight.
Ryan led the way down the wide sweep of the staircase toward the dining room and the kitchen beyond it.
Odd feeling, making our way through the heart of a deeply hostile ville without having to worry about sick men. Must be a first.
How's the eye, lover?
The lighting in the house was subdued, with many of the ornamental lamps turned off, the rest giving out only dim pools of watery gold. But Ryan still found that he could see fairly well. There was a kind of tunneling to his sight, with a sharp spot at the center of his vision, and increasing blurring the farther he looked toward the side.
Not bad. When we get to the kitchen, it might be worth taking something extra.
Now, why would the guests of the Cornelius family be wanting to take some extra food? Wouldn't be because they were thinking of leaving, would it? Because if they did, then that little lad's life would be measured in short, panting, throttling, choking, sobbing moments. So it can't be that.
Norman peered at them from the side of a long, bedraggled wall hanging.
We thought we might not come down to breakfast tomorrow. Show them that they haven't got us beaten. Eat in our rooms.
Norman put his head on one side, his index finger touching the dimple on his right cheek.
Well, now my advice would be to avoid any conflict. In the morning, their tempers can be particularly bad. I recall Melmoth ripping an arm off a scullery maid because she spilled some rich, blood-thick soup on his hand.
Perhaps you know best. All right, if we just go and help ourselves to some food for tonight?
Norman moved closer, his eyes fixed on Ryan's face.
Well, of course, dear heart, of course. Did I see you making your way unaided down the stairs, lovey? Is your eyesight recovered? Because if it is, then I think the family would be interested, especially little Mary, because she has such a special care for you, Ryan.
Christy took the few steps that brought her right up to the little man, towering over him by several inches.
Are you immortal, Norman?
Not I, my firehead, Kestrel.
She placed the middle finger of her right hand in the center of his forehead, holding it there for a moment, while she closed her bright green eyes. Norman staggered suddenly, and would have fallen if she hadn't supported him by the arm.
If you're not immortal, then you could find how easy death can come calling. It can come in waking and in sleeping. Remember that, little man.
He pulled away.
Oh, you think your pathetic powers will help you against them, lady? I will live to dance and smile on your grave.
He spun and stalked away.
You sure enough put the fear of Guy into him, lover.
I didn't want him pressing you about how well you could see. We don't hold too many cards in this game, so we might as well keep what we've got close to our chests.
Yeah. Let's just grab some bread and whatever and get back to our room.
And make ready for the move.
Jack had the door slightly ajar, his head at the gap.
Midnight. Time to go.
Everyone check blasters? Don't look at me like that, Millie. Once you've heard the hammer come down on an empty chamber, you don't ever want to have that feeling again.
Sure. You're right, John. Sorry. Guess it's just a touch of nerves.
The older I get, the more nervous I get. When you're young, you just don't appreciate what real danger is. Or how permanent death can be.
They made their way slowly along the passage, toward the attic door where Ryan had been taken by the family for his ordeal. There didn't seem any doubt that the maze of small interwoven rooms on the top floor of the house was where they would be holding Dean. So it was no surprise to find the door locked.
Under, over, around, or through?
Around or through. Anyone got an idea whether there's another way up to the top floor? Jack, you did most of the recon.
Probably way back up there. Could be if you went down to the kitchen. Risk running to Norman that way.
JB dropped to his knees and peered at the ornate brass lock, his head to one side.
Some of these old locks look like they could keep a baron's fortune safe, but they open up like a baby's smile to a pig. I'll see what I can do.
Ryan knew well enough that this wasn't a job to be rushed. The tiny lockpicks that JB carried in one of his capacious pockets would need delicate handling. JB sat and leaned back against the wall of the passage.
This going to take long, lover?
Could take 15 seconds. Could easily take a half hour. Could be that JB won't be able to pick it at all.
Then?
Shoot the lock off and go in with all guns blazing. Or try Jack's idea and risk finding another entrance. I don't much care for the guns blazing strategy.
You think Mildred's theory about how they regenerate their wounds is right?
She's the doctor, lover.
It's somehow in the blood, and that's why the blood needs refreshing all the time. So the bones and ligaments and other parts that don't have a blood supply might be a lot more vulnerable to a bullet.
Could be. Of course, if it's right, they'd hardly tell us, would they?
Ryan peered down at his cron.
8 minutes.
JB turned toward him, his sallow face glistening with perspiration from the effort of concentration.
You really gonna time me, partner?
Sorry. How's it going?
Getting there.
It took 11 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yes, got her.
I'll go first.
Ryan unholstered the Sig Sauer and levered himself upright.
Sure you can see well enough?
Sure, JB, sure.
JB folded up the neat pack of lockpicks and stashed them in his coat. The door to the attic stood a little way open, and a cold wind filtered down with the now familiar stench of rotting earth.
Ready? Don't have to tell you that we're all on triple red. That means shooting first, and not bothering to ask any questions. We know what we're up against, and how we agreed to try to take them out. So let's go.
The low-roofed rooms were all at odd angles and blind corners, cobwebs trailing across their faces. The dust was so thick that it was possible to move in almost total silence. Ryan led them all up the steep, uncarpeted stairs, pausing to try to get his bearings. An occasional oil lamp, the wick trimmed low, threw patches of yellow light among the lakes of dark shadows. Some of the rooms were empty, while others were piled with heaps of old furniture, chairs covered with rotting brocade, and tables with broken legs. Tall electric lamps and shelfless cupboards, a wind-up gramophone with a large horn split down its center, and the scattered parts of a child's toy clockwork railway.
I don't feel anyone living up here, lover. Unless the family give off a different kind of aura to ordinary people.
You think they've gone? Taken Dean with them on some sort of mission?
Christy shook her head, the brilliant red hair curled tight against her skull.
I doubt it. Seems much more likely to me that they've got the boy hidden someplace else in the house.
Cellars?
Could be. Fireblast, but it's dark as sin up here. Be much worse in the cellars. You got everything all prepared for the lights, JB?
Yeah, ready mixed in my pocket. Just hope it works like you say, Ryan.
I'm not saying it'll definitely work. I'm saying it should work.
One of the biggest of the attic rooms had a large double bed in it, with a stained mattress and knotted cords fixed to the four corners of the heavy brass frame. But that was the only chamber on the whole of the top floor that seemed to show any sign of recent habitation.
Down we go.
Ryan turned quickly away from the sight. The memories of his time there too recent and much too painful. Christy said nothing. The door to the cellars was unlocked. The smell that filtered up seemed to come from the bowels of the land, stinking far worse than anything else around the house. It seemed to grip one by the throat with an overwhelming carrion odor of decay.
Dark night! Something's died there long ago.
Bad.
Ryan closed his eye and swallowed hard, breathing through his mouth.
Maybe I'll wait here. Sorry, but I just don't think I can face that stench without passing out. It could actually be poisonous, you know.
Why don't you wait here with Christy and Doc? We need a rear guard. If something goes wrong down there in the pit, we have to have backup.
Christy's face was pale as parchment, her eyes glittering with an unnatural emerald brightness.
There's something down there. I can feel them.
Then we'll go. Just me, JB, and Jack. The rest of you stay. and chill anything that comes out of here.
This is real bad.